Here to set you free. How you doing? I'm Leslie Marshall. Hour two here on the only true democracy and talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. Hey, we are live on the radio nationwide. We are streaming live throughout the world on the World Wide Web. We stream live when we broadcast live. This show is 3 hours, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. If you don't get the whole show, you're missing a lot. So you need to get it. If you don't get it on the radio, you can get it via our live stream, LeslieMarshallShow.com/stream. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Like I said, we stream live when we broadcast live. In addition, you can get the show when you want, where you want, the way you want. iPad, iPhone, iPod, and MP3 compatible. All you got to do, become a Leslie Marshall Show member. Sign up to subscribe to our commercial-free podcast, and then you're on your way. Go to LeslieMarshallShow.com/members to sign up today. It shows your support for the show, helps keep our show continue to be the fastest growing progressive radio talk show in the United States of America, and on top of that, helps us to take that show, this show, your show, to the next level. We hope you'll support us in doing that. Go to LeslieMarshallShow.com/members and sign up today. By the way, we're also carried throughout the world on the American military bases. On the American Armed Forces Radio Network, troops, we salute you. And a lot of talking about the troops last night in the third and final presidential debate. Joining me in this hour in just a moment will be my buddy Mark Levine and yours, who sits in for me and does a whole heck of a lot of other stuff I'll tell you about in just a moment here on the Leslie Marshall Show, your show. In this hour, although Mark is co-hosting this hour with me, we want to hear from you. You watched the debate last night. Who won? Who lost? What did you think? What did you want brought up that wasn't? What did you like? What didn't you like? You know, we're going to talk about a lot of the aspects. We're going to talk about the polls of who won and some polls that have come out with regard to who is trusted with the economy, who they would vote for. Got a lot of confusion. It would seem like you blink and another poll comes out that says something completely contrary, especially if you got Gallup at the top of that poll as a name. But like I said, in this hour, just you and me and my co-host in this hour, Mark Levine. And if you want to join us, and I hope you will, with your opinions, your comments, your questions, your concerns, the way to join us, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543 is the number. You can also tweet me, follow me on Twitter, at Leslie Marshall. Like our fan page and send us an FB through Facebook. Go to facebook.com/TheLeslieMarshallShow. And in addition to that, you can email us on the contact page of our website, LeslieMarshallShow.com. Without further ado, Mark Levine, former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary Committee, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees as well. Mark currently hosts the Washington-based radio television show The Inside Scoop and the Raucous Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM. Mark also frequently appears on Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Business, and CNBC. He's tangled with everyone from Bill O'Reilly on the right to Pacifica co-host on the left, and with me, Leslie Marshall, on the O'Reilly Factor, both of us on the left. Yeah, we had a good time. And then on top of that, Mark, of course, sits in for me, which is the most important job he does of all, because I'm trusting him with my baby, and he does a wonderful job, seriously.
I love doing it, Leslie. I do.
Thank you. And Mark, unlike All About Eve, doesn't wait in the alley, for me to drop. So thank you, Mark, for that. And I trust you with it. And everybody appreciates having you on, as do I. Good evening. And before, Mark, we get into a lot of my questions and talk to folks that will be joining us hopefully in this hour at 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Before I talk about the polls and ask questions, overall, your view of last night, now that we can, as we have been waiting to exhale, finally exhale.
I thought it was President Obama's best night ever. He exceeded even my high expectations. Obviously, the polls agreed. A CBS poll of undecided voters found 53%, more than half, felt Obama won. Less than a quarter felt that Romney won, and a quarter felt it was tied. That's very strong. That's, by the way, stronger than Romney did in the first debate when he got 46%, who thought he won. About a third thought he tied. So, Obama hit it out of the park last night. Romney looked like he was sweating, and he couldn't wait to go home.
My husband came home early, and I walked in the house, and my husband tapes things so we can see them later. And when I had watched it, I listened to it the first hour at the studio, and then watched the last half hour at the studio so I wouldn't miss it. Drive home, because I've really listened to the first hour, not watched. Wanting to, see it. It's on tape. My husband, direct TV, whatever you call it. What do you call it? Not TV.
DVR.
DVR. Thank you. DVR. So I walk in the house. I didn't see my husband's car because he didn't park it in the normal place. So I walk in the house. My kids are 4 and 5. My nanny doesn't, you know, isn't into politics. And I'm thinking, who the heck is watching the presidential debate? I'm like, is she watching my nanny, the presidential debate with my kids? She's supposed to be playing with my kids, feeding them dinner. My kids aren't watching this, are they? I mean, they're not getting it. I walk in the room and there's my husband sitting there. Well, what are you doing home? He said, have you watched it? I said, yeah. And he goes, well, you know, sit down with me. And he was watching perhaps the last 40 minutes. When it was over, he said, what did you think? I said, no, you tell me. So that Mark knows a little bit about my hubby, I think, but that listeners know as well. My husband's an orthopedic surgeon, and my husband is normally a Democrat, votes Democratic, did vote for President Obama side by side with me last time around. But my husband's not very political, and he is a physician whose bottom line, quite frankly, will be hurt, reduced by the president's Affordable Care Act, as much as he does feel everyone should have insurance. So he's not 100% sold on, quote, Obamacare. And not as excited as he was 4 years ago, as, you know, many of the Obama supporters now, and wasn't sure who he's going to vote for. So he told me after the first debate, he said, I hate to say it. And he said, but after the first debate, he came up to me and he said, don't be mad at me. He goes, but I'm liking Romney. I said, what? He goes, I'm liking Romney. I'm like, you're sleeping on the couch. And he's like, no. And he goes, seriously, he just seemed more presidential. And he goes, you know, what was up? Obama didn't even look at him. He's looking down. He's writing. And he goes, you know, even his posture is bad. He goes, you taught me about posture because, you know, Mark, you know, I'm short. You're short. You know, we stand tall when we're speaking, you know, to be taller. And my husband said to me, you know, I think Romney might be my guy. So, of course, I'm getting the couch ready. And the second debate, he came home and he said that night, he said, did you see the debate? It's like, does he forget what I do for a living? And I'm like, yes, yes. I'm like, I'm live for most of it. And then I'm like, yes. And he goes, oh my God. And he goes, the vice presidential debate. He came home and he goes, oh my God, that was so much fun. He goes, the first one was like watching paint dry. And he goes, I want Joe Biden to be my president. Yeah. Then the second.
I did the same thing. I was like, Biden 2016. I started chanting at the end of that one.
So then after that, he came home after the second presidential debate and he said, wow. And I said, what? And he goes, now I'm really confused. And I said, why? And he goes, because I thought President Obama was stronger. He made more sense. And he said, you know, Mitt Romney, he, you know, just like tried to railroad him and look like an ass. And he goes, now I'm confused. So last night it finishes. He turns to me and he said, what did you think? I said, oh, no. What did you think? And he said, honestly, and I love this line. I'm going to use it every chance I get on Fox for the next 2 weeks. He said, tonight's debate, I saw that Barack Obama was our president and Mitt Romney wanted to be. And I thought that was the best way to put it, because that's really what I saw last night, was the commander-in-chief versus a guy who's trying to be commander-in-chief but just doesn't have it, just can't cut it. And I think the polls on CBS, CNN, etc., at least with the debate, with regard to the debate, truly, truly showed that. Even the worst fairing on CBS was a tie in the U.S. policy toward China, which candidate would do a better job handling it. But with terrorism and national security, which most Americans care about more, and honestly, I mean, China's probably not going to blow us to smithereens, but certainly terrorist and not handling national security could result in that. President had a 64% advantage in the CBS poll over Romney's 36%, with which candidate would do a better job handling each. You know, I have to say, Mark, last night, I felt that throughout every single question practically, Mitt Romney basically said, well, I don't disagree with how he's doing it. I just don't like how he's doing it because I'm not doing it.
But I would, exactly right.
But I wouldn't do it any differently. So in other words, what he said, only I'd be saying it. You know, I mean, because seriously, with regard to Iraq, you wouldn't do anything different. With regard to Afghanistan, wouldn't do anything different. With regard to Iran, wouldn't do anything different. And they're not saying anything different with regard to Israel. I love how the president brought up very nicely, and I know, Mark, you're Jewish on my behalf, but he brought up beautifully. Well, no, you know, like, Israel and I are fine. We're cool. Don't worry about it. By the way, when I went there, when I was campaigning, you know, I didn't ask for a check. I went to Yad Vashem.
I didn't go to a fundraiser. I went to the Holocaust Museum. Right. I went to a town that had been attacked by Hamas missiles. And I reminded myself of how my daughters, you know, how I would feel if my daughter's bedroom was attacked by a missile. I didn't just go to get fundraisers. It was beautiful. It was one of his best moments. It wasn't his best. It was his second best. My favorite moment, like most people's, it was horses and bayonets, where I just laughed out loud. Oh, my God, what a great line. When when Mitt Romney said, "We don't have the number of ships we had in 1917. And Barack Obama said, "Yeah, we don't have as many horses or bayonets either." Oh, my God.
Marky Mark Grimaldi, should have recorded what we said off the air just for filler on the show some nights, because it was very funny, except for some of our swearing, I'm sure. But when it was just, I tweeted, I was just like, the president just schooled Mitt Romney on the military, you know? And it's but some people on the right, of course, today is, that's right, we do. Why don't we listen to that for one quick second, since it was so much fun.
Look, this, in my view, is the highest responsibility of the President of the United States, which is to maintain the safety of the American people. And I will not cut our military budget by $1 trillion, which is the combination of the budget cuts that the President has, as well as the sequestration cuts. That, in my view, is making our future less certain and less secure.
Bob, I just need to comment on this. First of all, the sequester is not something that I proposed. It's something that Congress has proposed. It will not happen. The budget that we're talking about is not reducing our military spending, it's maintaining it. But I think Governor Romney maybe hasn't spent enough time looking at how our military works. You mentioned the Navy, for example, and that we have fewer ships than we did in 1916. Well, Governor, we also have fewer horses and bayonets because the nature of our military has changed. We have these things called aircraft carriers where planes land on them. We have these ships that go underwater, nuclear submarines. And so the question is not a game of battleship where we're counting ships. It's what are our capabilities? And
that was awesome. You know,
battleship right there.
I know. And you know what, though? Of course, those on the right are going, the president is dissing the Navy. And it's like, no. You know what? Mitt Romney, it's so amazing to me. Mitt Romney himself and Mormons, but Mitt Romney as a Mormon has never loved the Jews so much as when he has a slight lead in Florida. And he's never loved the Navy so much. He didn't even mention the military in his speech. And like the president said, didn't go to visit the troops, Navy, or otherwise, you know, he just wants Virginia. And a lot of people will say the president was speaking to Ohio last night. Of course, we know it's politics. One more, Mark, number five, because we did mention the president talking about going to Yad Vashem. And it was very powerful, which Mark and I were remarking on. Let's hear from the president himself.
When I went to Israel as a candidate, I didn't take donors. I didn't attend fundraisers. I went to Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum there, to remind myself the nature of evil and why our bond with Israel will be unbreakable. And the fact is, while we were coordinating an international coalition to make sure these sanctions were effective, you were still invested in a Chinese state oil company that was doing business with the Iranian oil sector.
Wow, very powerful. Mark, very powerful. We have less than 60 seconds. Remark on that, and then we'll talk more about these polls and some other polls and what's coming up in 2 weeks, which is the election. So go ahead, remark on some of that we just heard very quickly.
I thought it was very powerful. I think it's unfortunate that it's probably not going to decide the election because it was a strong debate. But I think people saw the president being presidential and Mitt Romney not being, and it's as simple as that.
Yep, like my husband said, right? One man was commander-in-chief, one man wanted to be. And hopefully the man is commander-in-chief will remain as such. We will see in 2 weeks, but we'll talk more with Mark Levine, my buddy, my co-host in this hour. And you want to join us? Only 40 minutes left in this hour. Glad I almost said 30. I got 10 more than I thought. That's even better. We're going to take a break. When we come back, pick up the phone and join us. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. That's 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. I'm Leslie Marshall, talking about who won the debate last night and why. Talking about who's going to win the presidency in 2 weeks and why. Talking about how close you think it's going to be, what you liked, what you didn't like last night, and how did you like that more aggressive president that some said was condescending and unpresidential? And of course, some of those people would be on the right. Some call them Republicans. I call them sore losers tonight. Oh my God. I'm Leslie Marshall. We'll take a break. We'll be back to you right after this. 888-6-LESLIE. 888-653-7543. Join us. We'll be right back.
Leslie Marshall.
And we're We're back. Leslie Marshall here, joined by former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank, House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees, who hosts the Washington-based radio television talk show The Inside Scoop and The Raucous Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM. He also appears on Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Business, CNBC, and of course here on The Leslie Marshall Show, not just co-hosting with me as a guest, but hosting when I am not available, and we're talking about the wonderful Mark Levine. Check out his website, marklevinetalk.com. That's MarkLevineTalk.com. Follow him on Twitter, at MarkLevineTalk. Mark, thank you for holding, and welcome back. Let's talk more about these polls. Overwhelming majority of CBS viewers polled decided the win was for the president. CNN. Right. Half of the debate watchers say the president won the showdown. Nearly half say the president won the showdown of the viewers. That's 48% and 8% edge. Some call it a slight. I'd say it's a heck of a lot more than slight. And CNN even noted that the majority of their viewers for the debate, not normally, are Republicans over Democrats. So even Republicans said that. That's an important point.
Wait
a minute. Before that, can you answer the question I had? You already answered quickly. Answer that one right now, why it's an important point. And go ahead. Answer that first.
Well, it's a very important point because CBS monitored undecided voters. Now, undecided voters is a tiny, tiny sliver of American voters because 95, 96% of us have already decided how we're going to vote in this election, and it's tied. So the people who are undecided, they're the ones that are going to decide this election in Ohio or Virginia or Colorado. We'll probably talk in the next half hour about which states and why. But they're very important, and they are split down the middle by definition. They're undecided. They're the ones, more than half said Obama won, less than a quarter said Romney won. The CNN poll did not measure undecided voters. The CNN poll measured people watching the debate. And it's been true for all four debates that Republicans have been watching the debate more than Democrats. I guess they want to see Mitt Romney. Most Democrats already know who Barack Obama is and are already supporting him and don't need to see the debates as much. So the group that CNN measures is, again, not all American voters, not undecided American voters, but the one in five, one in four Americans who actually watch the debate,
which is only 60
or 70 million.
Okay, we'll be back to Mark Levine. We'll be back to Bohr. Post-debate talk right after this. And we're back. We are talking with another talker, host of The Inside Scoop and The Raucous Caucus. Mark Levine is my buddy, also sits in for me here, co-hosting in this hour. Mark, thank you for holding and welcome back. Before we take some calls, you pointed out something very good. Not talking about voters left or right, undecided, independent, talking about viewers of the debate. So let's, before we take calls at 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543, let's talk about how that does differ. I was talking with Brad Bannon about this. I was talking with Marky Mark about this. I was talking with folks both left and right at Fox today about this. How the heck, Gallup even aside, okay, but I mean seriously, after the first debate, Mitt Romney kicks the president's butt. Mitt Romney deserved the bump. I thought it would be a sugar high. It was a big bump. It seemed to be long-lasting. Hell, it seems to still be lasting. And you brought up a good point, which is Mitt Romney's the new guy. He has, you know, more people to, you know, show who he is to and, you know, to get people to stand up and pay attention. Now, I haven't seen huge shifts in numbers in the swing states, and we will talk about those in just a bit. But on a national level, we have on Sunday and Monday a Gallup poll separate from 15 other polls that don't concur with them showing Romney with an advantage and such a large advantage. Rasmussen today, post-debate, one of the first post-debate polls I saw, has Romney up by 5 percentage points. Even Fox has shown on a national level the president ahead. Then again, the president's ahead by less than 2%, it would seem. Even Real Clear Politics has the president up, but not and ahead, but not by much. When does the president get a bump, for crying out loud, it fall from the second debate? Never mind the third debate. It seems like the Romney bumps never end, and it's bumping my head.
Well, I actually think the president already has gotten a bump. I think if you look at all the polls, remember, Gallup is just one poll. And in fact, Gallup has been Republican-leaning all this year, and I think, frankly, their methodology is wrong. One of the things that Gallup, and I know that, for example, Rasmussen does this, Rasmussen does not call people with cell phones. And not only does Rasmussen not call people with cell phones, they don't have people do the calls at all. It's done by an automated computer. And for whatever reason, people with home phones who are retired take the time to answer their phones and push the buttons on their phone. And a lot of young people who only have cell phones and don't have landlines and or are tired of robocalls and simply hang up. So you get a skewed base. You don't get a real idea of the electorate. So I've never believed Rasmussen polls. Gallup has been right in some years, and frankly, they were the worst poll for 08. If you look at all the polls, and I'm not really attacking Gallup. I am attacking Rasmussen. Gallup, I think, can get it right. But if you look at the poll of polls, if you look at all the polls together, which is the most accurate way to look at it, you see that in the popular vote, they're almost exactly tied. Obama may be a tenth or a twentieth, a tenth or two-tenths of a percent ahead. But I do think Obama is ahead in key states. Most importantly, yes, you've heard it a thousand times, Ohio. He's not ahead by much. He's ahead by about 48 to 46%. But what that means is that if one-third of every undecided voter in Ohio pulls the lever for Obama, he's going to win Ohio and the presidency.
And we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute because I do want to take some calls. But what does concern me, there are a couple of things that concern me. Of course, this is pre-debate. ABC had a poll that was done on Monday before the debate, yesterday before the debate. And it showed the president's popularity down 49%, lowest it's been since September, which was 48%. Even Bush at this time around had 50% when he wasn't being that popular coming up for re-election. Does that concern you going into the next 2 weeks for the president? Saying that, coupled with the fact that he was up by 6 percentage points in Ohio at one time, and I think that first debate widened that, narrowed that gap. When do we see that widening as a result of the second and third debate, at least in the results of certain swing states, especially Ohio, which either of these guys needs to win the presidency?
Well, and by the way, I do think there are ways Barack Obama can win without Ohio, namely my home state of Virginia.
Okay, we'll talk. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that in a sec. But I want to stick just for a sec. I want to stick with
this
because
I trust
you. No, I trust your opinion on this. I mean, how do we go from 6%, down to a couple of percentage point, 2 percentage points ahead of Romney, and how does the president gain that back? I mean, for crying out loud, other than walk on water, what the hell more could he have done after the second and third debates?
I think the second and third debate, and frankly the vice presidential debate as well, will all help Barack Obama regain in the polls. He probably won't get as high as he once was, but I still think he's going to win the race. I don't mean to be complacent. Obviously, the ground game matters. Obviously, it's going to be close. I think he's going to win. I think he's going to regain. One of the reasons why I think Mitt Romney gets.
I think I'm going to need Valium, and somebody's going to have to put me to sleep and wake me up and tell me how it ended.
Well, let me tell you why I think Mitt Romney got such a big bump out of the first debate. I don't think it was the first debate per se. I watched the first debate. Sure, Obama was looking down a bunch, but it really wasn't. I mean, I found it mostly boring, frankly. I didn't see Romney hitting out of the park so much as Obama putting us all to sleep. It wasn't a great moment for Obama, but if you look at the CBS poll, again, as I said, the exact same poll that showed 53% of undecided voters saying that Obama won the debate and less than a quarter saying that Mitt Romney won, Obama did better in the third debate than Romney did in the first debate. So why, you ask, is the bounce so big for the first debate? The answer is quite simple. When Obama didn't do as well as he expected, what happened? On MSNBC and you, Leslie, and liberals across the nation, probably to some extent me too, panicked. Liberals said, oh my God, what's happening to Obama? And so the liberals said Obama lost, and the Republicans, the conservatives, gleefully said Obama lost. And so remembering that only 60 or 70 million Americans watched the debate, which is only about 20% of Americans, maybe a third of the voters, but still not the majority of the electorate, and then it kept getting repeated in the media and Saturday Night Live, everyone said Obama lost. I didn't think Obama did that badly. I came on your show, Leslie, and I said, I wasn't looking at the screen so much because I was tweeting.
Right, I
was listening, and I thought it was a tie. But I think that narrative got told. After the second and third debate, even though Obama kicked Romney's you-know-what in both of those debates, you had the conservative media, you had Fox News actually saying it was a tie or Romney won, even though Obama won. And so I don't think the narrative got to be the same. Remember, it's not just the people who watch the debate that listen to the narrative. And when the media said Obama lost after the first debate, that actually hurt him more than the debate itself.
Wow. Wow, interesting. Okay, let's take some calls, and we started out with Michael in the Bronx. Michael, thank you for joining us. A question or comment for our buddy Mark Levine.
Wow, I get to speak to both of you simultaneously.
How's yeah, you do.
All right, I have a slight different take on all this. I'm be the one to say Obama won all three debates because of the fact that I do not look for style or theatrics or the things that these conservatives obviously look for. I look for absolute honesty, accuracy, and someone that is willing to comply with the debate rules and structure. Everyone's talking about the first debate. In fact, Obama was compliant with the debate rules and the structure, and he was speaking truth to the matter, while Romney wanted to bully him and bully the moderator, Jim Lehrer. And Jim Lehrer completely lost control of that first debate. And, you know, people are saying that Obama may have been doing rope-a-dope. I think that was evident in the second and the third debate especially. Remember yesterday, Obama kept citing Mitt Romney's flip-flops going as far back as maybe 2 years, then narrowing down to 2 months, and then 2 weeks. And then what the hell was going to be next? 2 days, 2 hours, 2 minutes, 2 seconds? You know, it keeps going down and down. I remember before that Romney made a statement one day, and then 24 hours later, he says, I don't recall ever making that statement or saying that, or it was taken out of context. The guy doesn't have a single thing to stand on, and we don't know where he stands on various issues. And since he has no idea about foreign policy, he has no idea about domestic policy, doesn't have any idea about a freaking thing about the average American, and since he does not want to comply with general rules of debate, how in the hell can anyone actually trust that he will comply with the laws and the Constitution of the United States as well as international laws in the United Nations? Come on.
Mark?
Well, I think that, I mean, you made some real good points. There's a new term that's being thrown around, and I love it. I wish I could say I made it up. It says Myth Romney, M-Y-T-H, Myth Romney, because Romney has now changed his views so many times. As you pointed out, Leslie, he said me too a lot to Barack Obama on foreign policy, but that wasn't his foreign policy when he ran in the Republican nomination. At that time, he said, I'm going to leave our troops in Afghanistan indefinitely. I don't believe we should set a deadline. I'm against setting a deadline. Barack Obama and, frankly, Joe Biden made this point very well with Paul Ryan, saying, you know, we've been there long enough. It's America's longest war. If the Afghanis haven't gotten it after 10 years, they're not going to get it. The Taliban, Al-Qaeda is gone. It's time for us to leave. And Paul Ryan just said, you know, humana, humana. He had nothing to say. And so Romney's like, ooh, Obama's better than me on that. Okay, I'll switch to Obama's position. And that's a switch he made in the last 2 weeks. So you're absolutely right. This Myth Romney wants to be everyone, to every position to everyone. And I don't think people are buying it anymore. I do think Barack Obama's going to win this election, and I think he's going to win it partly because Mitt Romney doesn't know what he stands for.
Yeah, Mitt Romney, absolutely. Michael, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. Mark, let's talk about the swing state. Oh, we're going to take a break. The music's like, shut up, Leslie, taking a break. We'll be back in our final segment in this hour with Mark Levine. If you have something to say, you have something to ask, we'll do it now if you want to chat with Mark. Otherwise, you can chat with me in the next hour, solo, moi. But right now, I am in a great duet team with Mark Levine. Pick up the phone and join us, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543, talking about last night's presidential debate right here on The Leslie Marshall Show. I always feel like it's the beginning of like a cop show when I hear this music. I'm Leslie Marshall. No cop here. Mark Levine joining me, co-hosting in this hour tonight, host of The Inside Scoop and the Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio, sitting in for me frequently and a guest and a good friend. Mark, thank you for holding. Welcome back. Let's talk about, and let's break it down. Let's talk about the swing states. The president in the first debate played it safe, became more aggressive in the second, and really laid it into the governor, former governor, last night. Many people said, oh, man, wasn't it presumptuous of Romney to say, when I'm president, sitting next to the president, if I were Obama, I would have kicked him on the table. But anyway, he's when and of course, very opposite. Romney was aggressive. was not as aggressive in the second debate and played it even safer. Are we in 2 weeks going to see the fruits of those decisions and strategies on either side, in a sense? Or do you think not really? Because there's so few people left
that are
undecided.
I think Obama will do better. I don't think people care as much about foreign policy as economic policy, so not as many people were watching. On the other hand, I can't believe that Mitt Romney took a cue from Obama in the first debate. I mean, Obama, my belief is that what happened to him, it's not that Obama got less smart or was more tired, or Obama was playing it safe. Obama was well ahead in the polls, and he decided, you know what, I'm going to play it safe. I'm not going to attack Mitt Romney when he lies. I'm not going to go after him. I'm just going to sit back and basically get through this. And he tanked in the polls. And Obama's like, oops, I can't do that. And he did a much better debate performance the second and third time. Mitt Romney, weirdly enough, for a guy who's supposed to be a businessman, who's supposed to be smart, learned from Obama and said, boy, I'm going to act just like Obama in the first debate, in the last debate. That worked so well for Obama, right? It didn't. Romney was idiotic to copy Obama's, you know, I'm ahead, leave everything alone strategy. He played it very safe, and it was wrong, just as stupid of Romney to do it as it was dumb of Obama to do it. I do think Obama's going to get about a point in the polls because of this, and I do think, just to add up the states, he's going to win the states that we expect, as well as Wisconsin, Nevada, Iowa, and New Hampshire. But that's not quite enough. He's got to win one of these states. He's got to win the presidency.
Before we get to the... So everybody understands, what are the swing states? And let's break down who's leading, and let's start with Florida. The president was hammering in Florida today, Mitt Romney, after the debate, and pointing out the myths and the hypocrisy and the changing face of Mitt Romney. I said on TV today, you would have laughed on America Live with Megyn Kelly. Well, Lars Larson, the conservative that I debate every Tuesday on there.
I debate him too.
Yeah, but every Tuesday I'm on with Lars, and, you know, he basically talked about Mitt Romney got along with Democrats when he was governor of Massachusetts, you know, and I pointed out, being from Massachusetts originally, that Romney was a Democrat when he was governor of Massachusetts. He just was running on the Republican ticket, but he voted and he campaigned on and claimed to be a liberal and a Democrat every single step of the way. And he had to work with an 87% majority. He had no choice.
They overruled his vetoes.
Absolutely. That was my point. Right. That was my point.
When you want to be relevant, he had to agree with the Democrats.
Absolutely. Otherwise, not, you know, everything would have been, you know, blamed on him. And, you know, he would have had no chance of a future. And, you know, even then he had his eye on the White House and knew that he would flip flop yet again. So let's talk about Florida. Florida, last that I, let me see, I have a whole bunch of different numbers here. Let me see the most recent ones that I have, and we'll compare notes. How does that sound?
Okay, I want to give my predictions.
I want to hear your predictions, but I also want to talk about what the numbers are in these states right now. What I'm using Real Clear Politics, okay?
I respect them. They're good. They're
okay.
Honest.
Okay, so you tell me, in Florida... They show Romney with a 1.8% lead.
Yeah.
This is the latest that I have. That's very close. Romney going to get Florida?
He might.
What's your prediction? You said
You just said,
can I give my predictions?
I think there's a chance that Obama will sweep it all. But if I'm going to play it safe, I will give Romney Florida. But I'll do it only if you really push me screaming against the wall, because I think Obama's got a good shot of winning Florida. But if you really force me, I guess I'll give him Florida.
Mitt Romney really can't win without Florida, can he?
No, he cannot. He cannot. Let's make it clear just what the states are. So I give Barack Obama all the states you would expect. Just real quick, California, Oregon, Washington, Hawaii.
No, we don't need to talk about that. We need to talk about let's start with, I don't want to say not as significant, but you know what, let's start with Iowa. The president is ahead by 2 points. That, you know, that's not that much difference than the lead that Mitt Romney has. My prediction is that the president is going to take Iowa.
I think he probably will, but I think it probably won't matter.
Okay.
And the reason it won't matter is that I think the president is going to win all the states we think he's going to win, including Michigan and Pennsylvania. I think he's also going to win Wisconsin and Nevada, and I'm already putting
Wait. I love you, but you're reminding me of my kids. I'm like, no. We're not going to number six yet. We're going to number one.
No, but it's important because I want to start with the ones that I think he's got in the bag.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. What does the president have in the bag?
I think he's got Wisconsin, Nevada in the bag.
Okay. Wisconsin right now, they're showing on Real Clear Politics President Obama with a 2.7% lead.
Yes, but it's more than that. He's got 50% of the vote, or 49.8. That's enough. He's convinced half of Wisconsin to vote for him. I'm putting Wisconsin away for the president and Nevada as well.
Okay.
All right?
Wait. How many electorate votes is Wisconsin?
Wisconsin is 10. It brings him to 247, and Nevada brings him to 253.
Okay. I'm not good with math. Nevada is how many?
Nevada is 6.
Okay, Nevada 6 and Wisconsin's 10. Now, Nevada, you say that the president
will take... I think
250
electoral votes are in the bag for the president, leaving 17 left.
Okay, wait one sec. And let's talk about quick in the bag. We only have a couple of minutes here. Okay, so Nevada right now, and they keep going back and forth. Here we go. They show the president up 2.8, almost 3%, and you think he's going to get Nevada. I would agree with you on Wisconsin.
I think Nevada and Wisconsin, the early voting in Nevada is strong. It's a strong Latino state. I give Nevada and Wisconsin to the president, giving him 253. He needs 17 more electoral votes. He might get Iowa. He might get New Hampshire, but that's not enough. It's just 10.
Wait. What about Pennsylvania, darling?
Oh, Pennsylvania and Michigan, easy.
Okay, so how many are Michigan and Pennsylvania apiece?
Well, they're 20 and 16, but I already included them in my initial 237.
Oh, okay, so the president's going to get them. He's up by 5 in Michigan, and he's up by 4.8 in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
so those
I'm not
go to the,
about those two states.
Goes to the president. So Iowa and New Hampshire, either one of those he wins.
Here's the deal. All right, if he wins Florida.
So you're saying he can win the presidency without Florida and Ohio?
Yes, if he wins Virginia or Colorado.
Okay, and where do you think he'll stand with Virginia?
I think he's going to win actually Ohio, Virginia, and Colorado. But the point is, he only needs one of them. Florida would do it for him. Ohio would do it for him. With Virginia, he's going to have to win New Hampshire, but I think he will win New Hampshire, so I'm not really worried about it. With Colorado, he'll have to win Iowa and New Hampshire. That's even harder.
Romney is 0.2 ahead in Colorado. Virginia, they're in a dead tie, and the president's up 1.4 in New Hampshire. Mark, you know I love you. Always a pleasure. From your mouth to God's ears, right? I'm Leslie Marshall, Hour 3 Straight.